Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. This is a podcast that's on the edge of consciousness where science, spirit, and the unknown collide. What parts of yourself have you been avoiding and that are actually the keys to your greatest power? I've got an amazing guest today, Maja Dau, who takes us into the hidden architecture of the psyche, revealing how shadow work, dark tarot, and alchemical wisdom will transform your blind spots into clarity, your patterns into purpose, and your inner darkness into your most potent ally. Maja is a practicing witch and scholar of alchemy and occult lore who's been reading tarot for over 20 years. She's got a master's degree in transformational psychology with a focus on shamanism, the I Ching, and our ancestors. And to learn more about Maja, go to witchofthedawn.com. And with that, I welcome the amazing Maja to Dare to Dream. So good to have you here.
Thank you so much, Debbie. It's wonderful to be here.
I want to start out, Maja, with the shocking truth about our shadow self. I also feel personally like it's one of those metaphysical words that have been used so much, shadow, projection, that it becomes bastardized from the potency that it originally was. So what is the truth about our shadow self, and why, if people are out there just ignoring it, it really keeps us stuck?
I'm so glad that you said that because it's so true. I feel like in pop culture today, people are approaching it as a kind of watered down version. And people tend to look at the Jungian version or self-help version of shadow work, which is like my shadow. What do I need to work on in my unconscious? And they take it as ways of like, what did my parents do? Or what am I doing wrong that I need to look at? This is not what the shadow is. It's much deeper. The unconscious realm or hidden realm in nature is real. It's dark matter. It is the negating factor of life and nature. It is death. It is danger. It is destruction. And we live in it every day. And so I work really hard to transpersonalize the shadow, to look at reality in terms of physical nature and reality that we live within, to be inclusive of dark matter, to understand that there are sunsets as sunrises, and that we need to look at things like human behaviors that include violence, that include shocking behaviors from loved ones that we might not expect, and put them into parameters of need, of physical reality, of that we live inside of animal bodies, and to understand that these need to be included in reality. We need to learn to understand them. We need to learn to see them when they're happening, and then have strategies for how to address them instead of keeping being shocked and trying to treat them with shame or ignoring that that's a capacity that humans can engage in. Meanwhile, we still have people getting murdered. We still have people starving. We still have wars because we can't quite integrate that that's part of the reality that we live in. So I look at a lot of ancient pagan sources of dealing with our own shades, underworld journeys like cycle pumping, looking into nature to see how can we reconcile these darker energies without having to, you know, just sacrifice our humanity.
You mentioned cycle pumping, whether you choose that or not, but can you give us an example? Because you said there's tools that we can use, and I'm very interested in that.
Yes, absolutely. So cycle pumping is like underworld journeys, which for those that might explore shamanic methods, that's one of the first things that you do. And also will get triggered through psychedelic use or even breath work, music, sound baths can bring it on. And by underworld, It is your subconscious, your unconscious, which includes parts of your body, which we get from our ancestors. So one of the tools that we can use is to connect with our ancestors that existed before we were born, and then to go into who we are after we pass away. So because time is not a line and it all exists simultaneously, we exist before we were born and after we die. So we can use tools to connect with our underworld self and get information. We can learn not to be afraid of darkness, of death, to see what that passage is, to help other people shepherd through it, to kind of unify that unconscious and conscious mind together so that we don't have to live in a fragmented reality where we think we're just alive right now and then this is it.
Oh, that was very powerful. I was so there with you. Talking about that because, as I shared with you before we started, I do shamanic work. I do take people on journeys into the underground. And to fill it with this piece you're talking about is a tool to come back out to this middle world where we live and be able to reckon, deal with the reality of what we're living in. And you're absolutely correct. When you typify it as shaming or judgment or a lot of separation from this is happening, but I can't deal. How could people be like this? How could this be going on? And that has to make it a very confusing world to live in. So I hear you saying you're all about meeting it face on, head on, and having multiple tools with which to deal with. So I got to ask then, when a client comes to you, I don't know if you do group work, you can address that, but if you do client work, certainly, how do you work with people to adjust to everything, not just in the collective, but in their personal life that's going on that may be horrifying or untenable?
Absolutely. For the main tool for all of these things, they kind of boil down to one tool that I use, and which I feel like is the purpose of my shadow deck I just put out, and that is to raise awareness. So once we take these things from the unconscious or the subconscious and we scoot them up into consciousness, I find that's powerful enough to start the journey unraveling, and it'll kind of do it on its own. So the one tool is to raise the awareness, right? So with my clients, I do group work through talks that I give or whatever I'm invited to. I do, it's kind of hard because I do so many different things for groups and individuals. Sometimes I'll perform as a live oracle where people can just ask me questions. But also, the individual is the same. It's microcosm, macrocosm. So, one individual is having the same kind of story as everyone. It's that hero's journey, right? Heroine's journey. So, we can, no matter where my client is, I can kind of see where they're at on the journey and then see what awareness needs to get raised to them at that location where they're at. And I'll usually use divination. I use I Ching, astrology, and tarot, which I find are very effective because it makes a third party to bring it to their awareness. So it's kind of like a little sneaky because I'm not directly informing them. And there's kind of this, thing that's delivering the message that then they can contemplate through the archetypes to sort of like, keep it with them and think about later. So it's not even just words, it's through this these ancient symbolic languages that can really get in deeper to their unconscious and then kind of start to open like a flower. So once we can kind of like bridge that gap between not aware or ignorant or out of our control or in the darkness, and then bring it up in front of our face into our eyeballs and get an epiphany, right? We can get that, oh, it's this. This is what it is, right? It's that. So that can kind of pop whatever fear or stagnancy the person could be going through, no matter what area it's in of their life, by just having that awareness enter, it starts to crumble the tower. Yeah.
Oh my, that's beautiful. That makes so much sense. A third party to speak the truth, to be the oracle. And how cool that you do your own work as an oracle. That sounds fascinating. I'm sure I'd love watching that. You also introduce this idea instead of the word archetype, which again, we're so accustomed to, but for you say darketype, which flips traditional archetypes. So what happens psychologically when we finally face these inverted identities?
It's very important, and it's spoken of throughout history. Many esoteric myths have a story of two brothers or two sisters, and there's the good one and the bad one, and then they fight, and usually one of them dies, right? This is the founding of Rome with Romulus and Remus. This is Inanna and her sister,
Really?
right? That
Mm-hmm.
we exist and we don't exist. We are good and bad. So this is about unifying duality. So when we understand that there's a archetype for every archetype, right? In my tarot deck, for example, I'll just give for those familiar with tarot, we can take any one of them, any one of the archetypes, and just take the exact opposite of whatever that archetype is. So
You said
we can
that, and I
take.
just want folks to know this is something you just published. This is brand new on the market. And give us the name of your new beautiful cards. I've looked at them. They're amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's called the Shadow Seer Tarot out through Inner Traditions. And I had a lot of visions with it. One of the first things I saw was hands. And as I explain in the book, that to connect with ancestors, I went all the way back to the cave people. And when they would do art, they would make these outlines of their hands as a way to have a signature or identify themselves. And when I started going deeper into that, I found out that the word human isn't man like male, it's man like hand. And that our hands are what identify humans as a species, and then go way back into like our animal history. It's our hands that do it. So the artwork was mostly done tracing my hands, like on the back of the card. All the art is traced on my hand. So if you look at like the death card, the inversion of that is the murderer, which is someone who, by trying to control death, becomes it and thinks that they can take that power, right? So we have death as like a natural event. And then the darker type of that is when that control is attempted to be wielded in power, right? Important to know the archetype of murderer so that we can recognize them, have a strategy, and understand what to do with them, right? Especially for people who are vulnerable, or, we need to learn how that feels. What is that feeling affiliated with that archetype in order that we can navigate without being shocked or like victimized, or how do we deal with this energy, right? So by looking at these inversions, it can assist us to raise awareness so that we can be like, oh, that's something I don't want to go near, or stay away from that person, right? Or how do we deal with these people that are holding this shadow? What are we going to do, right? Important.
It is important because that card in particular makes me think about the cabal or the deep state. And many of us in this field and outside of this field are highly aware that there's things going on way beyond our government that are being funded by us without our approval and doing things definitely without our approval. And that to me would be indicative of that card. That's
Well,
what
and
I'm
that
thinking of.
it's a bigger thing even than them, right? So that murderer archetype is ancient, right? It's ancient, and any person can be susceptible to becoming a vessel for that dark archetype. So if you're aware of these things, you might, free yourself from joining a cabal, right? Through just being ignorant and thinking, oh, I can get power this way, right? So if we can kind of raise our awareness to these tricks, these shadows that are not true, we can just kind of be liberated from them and maybe assist a lot of other people to be liberated from them too. Kind of like, if someone has been, the cult is another card I have in here. If someone, has been tricked because they, they had a need, they needed a sense of family, so they joined a cult, and then they just get victimized by a charismatic leader because they didn't know any better, but they were sincerely wanting connection or wanting community. If we can raise awareness to these things, maybe we just won't have those things happen as much in our humanity.
Very powerful. Yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So then, Maja, if the shadow is something not to eliminate, but instead to integrate, what does that true integration look or feel like in real life? How do people do that? Or do you have an example?
Yes, absolutely. Right. Because we cannot eliminate shadow. We live in a world where things cast shadow, where there's darkness, there's night, there's dark matter is the majority of the universe, right? If we listen to some scientific theories, we're not going to get rid of it. So how, as humans, are we going to navigate that darkness, right? And what does that look like? To me, again, it is really about raising conscious awareness to it. Know what it feels like. It's kind of like learning how to play the bass or go through the low vibe, right? You're not going to just pretend death doesn't exist and then not have to go through it, right? It's not, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns in the world. Maybe that's a possibility. However, instead, we can learn how to navigate the base, right? That low vibe without compromising our consciousness by being like, oh, this, I'm going through the valley now. I'm not on the mountain peak. I'm navigating the valley here. So we can learn, like learning how to navigate a ship, right? So the integration is really about not becoming dark, not doing the negative behavior or having to be victimized by it, but understanding and recognizing, having a strategy, right? So it's kind of like, I would compare it to the difference between knowing CPR and not knowing CPR. That's a big difference if it's needed, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Right? Huge difference, right? So having the knowledge of the shadow realm and dark energies, we then don't need to be consumed by it, and we can maybe travel through it on our journey without like our bubble popping. We can make it through that passage and come out intact, rather than becoming totally, our souls becoming taken by it, right? So I feel like that looks like those epiphany moments. It looks like knowledge, it looks like understanding, right? So when, for example, if your gut instinct, let's say you're going on a date, your gut instinct says, ooh, this is bad for me, without judging the person in their journey or whatever shadows they're holding, we can feel that's the energy there. So we have to identify it. Then we have to say, how am I going to navigate here? Am I going to engage it and learn a lesson? Is this a karmic lesson for me? Or do I need to leave? Do I need to exit this dark energy? What am I going to do here? So then you can make choices that are based on conscious awareness.
Yeah. I just recently had something like this happen, although it wasn't so much dark, but exactly what you're saying, to just know what you know. Which is very interesting sometimes in the moment without proof. I was planning a trip to live abroad in another country to take care of an animal health. One of my animals has a health problem and is a world famous place in another country. I would live there for a month. It's a big deal, right? Leave my business, my home, everything, and my other dog. And I was all about planning this and something started feeling wonky, just wonky. And I had to stop and I kept hearing, you're not doing it this month. We are not going to go in this month. And God, it was so tough. I trusted myself and I wrote to the facility and said, we can't come this month. And maybe you could look at pushing this out into the fall. And it was fascinating to me. It took them a month to get back. And in that month, they had a whole laundry list of questions that would have derailed her trip anyway. So I have to fulfill that list of questions, which means further tests. And those further tests, even though it's more expense and a little bit more on her to go through this, it actually will put my heart at ease because I will 100% know, as well as the surgeons, that she is right for this procedure. So that voice, that knowing, if you will, was absolutely correct. It turned out to be right aligned with where life was going to take us anyway.
You listen, which is very hard to do, and that vetting, right? You had a vetting imposed upon the process, which most of the time we'll rebel against. We don't like, I'm so impatient, and we want that low-hanging fruit. We want things to be easy. But here's where the temptation comes in, and then we get into chaos, right? Usually we'll receive that guidance and instruction of like slow down, like go step by step, right? So that you can see it unfold so you can make a better discernment like you experienced. But it's really rough to listen to that guidance. It's usually quiet, right? And like a little push.
Very much so. And I call it following energy because that's one thing I'm very good at. And I feel like, to address what you were just saying, Maja, I feel like we live in this Amazon society, meaning I'm going to punch in what I want and the next day it's here at the doorstep. And that is a lot on the psyche to live with, but life has a different pattern to it. It unfolds
It's
in a
even
different way.
worse. Yes, it's a Pavlovian dopamine hit addiction response, and it's throwing everyone off their center of power because we are getting, you can say whatever conspiracy theory you want of why this is happening, but it just is. Maybe it's the tech, maybe it's planned, who knows? But the outcome is the same. People are entering into an addiction-like state of consciousness as a result of what you just said, that hit the button, get the gratification, right? This is not healthy for human beings to be in that state of that gratification. It's not healthy. We are meant to grow, to unfold, to have time work in a certain way to make sure something is stable, solid and trustworthy. If we're going to trust it, we're going to have to take the time to suss out that foundation, right? Yes.
100%. Wow. Your tarot deck also exposes these darker expressions like hubris, like the cannibal mother. Oof. Can you tell us about that specifically? And it's so beautiful that you named uncomfortable energies directly, but tell us about darker cards like that, what they mean for us.
Yes, it's really important. I deal with a lot of clients, a lot of people, and we will be victimized of energies that are dark through family, right? Sometimes it'll be someone that you really trust or care about, and there'll be this betrayal of someone holding hubris, for example, where this is what I call the scary clown, where someone tries to make fun of you to humiliate you. And then sadistically enjoys that you have been humiliated. So, this humiliation ritual we can see all over online, right? So, you can see they call it trolls, right? So, to me, the hubris card is very important to assist so that we can recognize that energy and not have our light diminished by someone taking sadistic pleasure in humiliating us in order that they can gain some kind of powerful feeling that, ooh, look at you, you're this or you're that, right? Of all this kind of hubristic engagement with that humiliation enjoyment, which is what is sadism, right? And it's important for us to know what that is so that we don't behave in that fashion too. When we see everybody online doing it, it can be very easy, especially for children, to fall into that heckler circle and bully people, even to the point where they then commit suicide or have severe repercussions, right? This is something that is actively occurring on social media every day where that dark archetype is showing up. So it's a very important one to know. For the cannibal mother, this dark archetype can be not only in our family, but also people we engage with. If we somehow had a mother that was absent or abandoned us, we can then seek a mother figure in our work. I have a lot of clients who have bosses that are cannibal mothers, where their boss will take everything from them, copy them, steal their boyfriend, steal their significant other, just devour them and take all of the energy for themselves, because they have a black hole of an emotional need that they are not filling themselves. For real mothers that become the cannibal mother, this can happen because they had a physical injury during childbirth that they never healed. Maybe they lost a lot of blood. Maybe there was damage internally, and they just kind of tried to champion it out. And then subconsciously, they take it out on the child because they have never healed their injury, right? So they feel like they're owed something or they need some kind of compensation. So they extract it through guilt, through shame, through minimizing the child. But really, what happened is they just had a physical injury, or maybe their mother did it to them. And it's being handed down in this viral energy holding of this shadow that someone needs to break that cycle. Someone needs to say no. Someone needs to be like, hey, you're behaving inappropriately. But the problem is, and this is important, so I hope you'll indulge me. When we call out someone who is holding an abusive or negative shadow behavior, they're going to deny it. They're going to turn it around, right? They're going to do the Darvo. So you can expect if you call someone out on a shadow, even if they're your best friend, your partner, your loved one, first they're going to defend against it and counterattack. It's their nature, right? Everybody wants to be the best. Our ego wants us to win. We want to be good. We want to be the hero. If someone comes in and counters our hero story, we're going to fight to the death, like we're fighting a dragon and they're the bad guy and we're the good guy, right? So the better way to address shadow, which I write about in my work too, is that we kind of have to do it around the back door. If you get super confrontational, which I will, depending on the offense, right? If it's a imminent danger, I'm going to be very confrontational. But that's just I have a fight response to fear. So different people have different responses, right? But if you confront, doesn't always serve because now you're going to have a fight and the other person will immediately become defensive and then aggressive towards you. So sometimes I like to direct to give them some information about stories where these things happen to people. So that it's a little maybe if they read this story or listen to this allegory, they won't take it as personally because it's something that's a little bigger than them. So they won't see it as a direct attack, which that's why I like working with the archetypes because we can do it through story. So it's not like it doesn't target them personally, but they can still get the message.
It's amazing. I mean, that would also prevail over gaslighting, which is something that people love to do in their defense when they. I mean, I never realized all the psychology behind what was happening when somebody does that in such extreme defense. It's always been very strange to me. But now it makes sense what you're saying, what's really going on. And then they give you the very last thing you want in that moment. You really
They're
just
going to give you
want.
the opposite thing. That's right, the inversion. You think you're doing the correct thing, which you are. However, I've learned efficacy, and succeeding in showing someone that shadow, you cannot be direct because it will be now a battle, right? Now it's a battle. So, especially with loved ones, if this is a person you care about, right? That you, and I mean, you can let me know if you have a different strategy, please. But like, this is just through experientially trying to show someone, like, have them pick a card on, like, what's your shadow? Oh, you're the player. Like, maybe we should look into that, right? So take a little look. Is that true? What do you think about that? Have some dialogue. Open up some safe spaces where things can be explored. I'll also offer my shadows that I'm holding because we're all going to hold some kind of shadow. Okay. Nobody gets out of this. So if I'll talk about my shadow, sometimes then they'll be like, oh, okay, this is safe for me to talk about what I might be doing, or it could raise their awareness. So we can do it in an inclusive fashion rather than shaming them, isolating them, ostracizing them. Invite them if it's not too offensive, right? I do not feel any victim's job is to deal with the shadow work of an offender for them. That is not what I'm promoting, right? We need to get help. If you have directly been victimized by an offensive shadow behavior, that's not your job to do that with them. Go get assistance, by the way, right? So, and we don't have, that doesn't mean tolerate it. It's okay. That's also incorrect, right? We can't enable, shove it under the rug, pretend everything's okay, and continue receiving abuse, right? Difficult. What do we do?
So, just wondering if folks might be thinking, what about synchronicity? So, is synchronicity just coincidence with better branding, or is it evidence of a deeper organizing intelligence?
I feel like there's two separate things, and I talk about this a lot. There's omens and there's synchronicities. Okay. I feel like those are different things. Synchronicity is a natural happenstance, and it occurs because there's contractions and expansions of time and our place in it. So a synchronicity is when the inside and outside match, right? So something we have inside of us matches the outside, right? So we have a direct existence. So like a friend of mine said, synchronicity is like you're thinking of a plate of shrimp and your friend comes along and says, hey, do you have a plate? And then your other friend comes along and says, hey, you want some shrimp? So it has like a, it's an intersection, right? Where there's a cluster. I get like, sometimes mine are so severe that it's like multiple of the same thing where it happens again, again, again over the course of a day. It'll be all day. The synchronicity is that thing where inside my mind is reflected outside in reality, right? This you can actually make happen when you raise your awareness enough and you're kind of like, oh, this is like just a joke. Because this is when you raise your awareness, you can see synchronicity everywhere. Right. So you can't really get sucked into that rabbit hole because it's a little trick of how reality works. When your consciousness raises, you'll see inside your mind is the same as within, so without. This is one of the parables, right? As above, so below, as within, so without. That's synchronicity. We get omens, and there's a difference, in my opinion, in my experience. Some people may disagree. Please do. When we start receiving direction and directives, like you with your pet, right? You had that was an omen experience trying to direct you on the path. I don't feel like regular synchronicities are directives, and I feel like there's a difference between the two. But I don't know, maybe you have experienced different, or let me know what your experience was there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you might say there's claircognizance. There's definitely clairsentience, meaning I have always, my whole life, known what I've known. Period. It's just I didn't understand it for most of my life until I was doing radio, and I had a radio show at the beginning 19 years ago, and a psychic came on, and when we were done with the show, she said, I want to tell you something about yourself you don't know. So when the show was complete, she said, write down these words and go look them up and give me a call. And I was just agog. I was like, I had no idea. Talk about disowning parts of yourself. I really thought there was something wrong. I didn't understand lots of how I functioned. And as soon as I read all of that information, I was so joy-filled that I started playing with it everywhere.
The epiphany.
It was
Yeah.
very freeing, very liberating. And now, I don't talk much about all the things I know. There is no reason often for me to, unless I've got a client, but I know an awful lot. And so, yes, and the older I get, the more and more and more I just, this happens. There's no how, why, there's no rest of the sentence. It's just this. And it's like, wow, I guess I'm going to act on that because it's not going away. It's
Yes.
prevailing.
Those are the directives, I feel like. So I get the omens repeat for me also. I agree with your statement entirely, where it's the ones that won't leave you alone, right? They keep poking you on the shoulder. Whereas you can have synchronicities kind of like come and go daily, right? For me, it's like a daily occurrence. So I've learned to. You can almost get like distracted by them, right? Like it becomes like sort of noise. But then there's the ones that are like that follow that, right? Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Are there common shadow patterns that you see people unconsciously repeating in relationships? What would they be?
So many, like every client. With a relationship problem is repeating a pattern or a cycle. Usually it's from their parents. Wah, wah. So sad and dumb, but it's like so true, so true. And it's myself included in that. And it's because it's our earliest influence, you know, where sometimes it can be not from our parents, but maybe we consumed a certain media. When we were children, whether it's like movies or books or something got in there and told us this is the really, I can't tell you how many clients I have. They have learned what romance is through media. And then they're shocked that human real relationships are not the same as those things. And so they're like ruined because they're just repeating some code that is not a true code that has been implanted in them. And then their relationship falls apart because they can't navigate it because they've been misguided or they're copying their parents subconsciously and they don't even know. So the most common archetypes in relationships I feel that I see are betrayal, control dramas, right? Are you familiar with the Celestine Prophecy book?
That's a long time ago, but I am very much, and James Redfield has been on the show before.
Oh, wonderful. So he talks about the control dramas, right? And he really distills them down to those four control dramas, which I feel like please read those because if you're in a relationship, you're going to be playing a role of one of those four control dramas to try, because it's a power play. If we're in a relationship, we're going to take on a role, and sometimes we'll take on a archetype role because there'll be power struggles within the relationship somehow. Right.
Right. Lucky you if you work your way through that to the other side. I think that's where the riches are. If you can get through that period in a relationship and you know that your partner is going to be the complete opposite, it's like it's so perfect how that happens to force you to reckon with some stuff inside of yourself, but also the what exists between the two of you.
There's inside each partner and then the thing in the middle. You're exactly correct. And that's what healing is. So relationships are so valuable because we can heal and then become whole, right? So when we can have a relationship where, just as you said, we can make it through that, you know, navigate that valley to the treasure, it's totally the treasure or paradise. Like I was shown, they're like, you can just go through there and then you go under that rainbow bridge to paradise, right? But you have to go through every internal purgatory of yourself and your partner, right? To have that patience. It's hard because you don't want to give or take abuse, right? So you have to navigate it with boundaries, but try to create space where you guys can navigate those darknesses and heal so that you can then really have a healthy, supportive partnership.
Yes. So discernment, so important. Exactly what you said, to know what is really not right and light for me. Like, this is dangerous or extremely hurtful, harmful, not for me. I'm way more valuable than this situation. But also to understand the other side when it's not those things, but it's a human acting out of whatever wound or misbelief, whatever strangeness people come in or what they grew up with, and to know to navigate. That is like, man, your cards will really come in handy during the valley of that situation, because I feel like that valley is where most people, that's where the breakups happen, that's where the divorces happen, the separations, because people don't know how to get through. And again, I mean, I'm being so clear with discernment that this is not a harmful situation, but with discernment that to have ownership, that's the other part. We also have to own stuff, but the other person has to own, and it's something. It's a something, something.
It's almost like I call it a setup or like a joke, right? Where it's like, oh, you want this? Well, first, you're gonna have to go through the vetting, right? To have that purification process, right? And it's highly unlikely that both individuals will be purified and healed coming into a relationship. Not impossible. Right. There's a lot. Everyone's doing way more healing journeys now. Thank goodness. So we're making headway.
We
We're
are
making
making
headway.
headway.
Yeah.
Yay. Yay us for all the healing work we're doing. That is so great. Well, I'm going
Yes.
to take a little break here, and we're going to pause for a moment, because if something inside of you is activating right now, this is your step. And you've got Maja's website, which is witchofthedawn.com. Also, for those of you who are galactically inclined and are interested in what is my star seed lineage, what kind of galaxy species did I come from? I've got a gift for you. Go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. That's Debbie with an I, Dachinger with a C. So it's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. Get a galactic mirror of who you truly are. And all the URLs will be in the show notes or the description. Right now, there is an unprecedented channeling event going on. 13 world-renowned channelers, 9 weeks of transmissions and teachings, plus they're going to teach us how to channel. This channeling intensive is hosted by myself and my dear friend Neil Garr from Portal to Ascension. So this is your invitation. If you want to join with the realms beyond, book your spot now. You can register at thechannelingcourse.com. And if you're feeling like this conversation is really speaking to you, don't just watch it. Interact with it. Comment, subscribe, like, and hype this video so we can reach the souls who are ready for this message, ready for change. And now I'm going to bring Maja back on, and this is the period of time in the show when we do an experience. And I'd like to invite you, Maja, to offer us some kind of a brief experience. And whatever you're called to do, you could do oracle, you could read from a card, or any of the many gifts that you have.
This is going to be really fun. So
Yay.
let's get into it. I would love, maybe Debbie, if you're into playing, if you would like to get a question of a larger level that you see a lot of folks wrestling with, whether that's like the cabal, we can do, anything. I love your mind and you're so open and advanced. So maybe a question for the cards regarding a shadow we can deal with, or something that's pertinent that you see coming up a lot. And I can pick a card on that shadow and then another one for how to integrate to work to reduce it. So we can identify it and then have an antidote.
Yes. Thank you. As you were talking, the file cabinet was very active. And here's what I came to settle on. It's about power. And I want people to understand how to step into their power. I think a little bit there's a misunderstanding about potency, real. That truly exists in each of us. And this not understanding how to access it, what it looks like inside of them. And so, if I were to put this into a question, is And I hope people can feel the kind of power I'm talking about, but I mean like setting the world on fire power, but in a good way. Setting
Our
your life on fire.
inheritance, our human power, our inheritance that is being thwarted. Yes.
Exactly. And so it's like, how, what's there for us? How can we tap into that? And what, anything we need to know around power, real value in who we are and the ability to make things happen.
I love this. Maybe we should phrase it. What is the shadow preventing humanity from accessing their power source? And then how do the individuals gain re-entry to their power? Correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. First one, what is the shadow? Let's identify it. Oh, the cannibal mother. The cannibal mother. Wow. This one, the image was very specific, and this is the mother of the gods and even the earth, the Tiamat energy. So Tiamat is the enemy, right? In the majority of the creation myths. And in a lot of my meditations, there's this kind of dual nature to earth, to Big Mama. Big Mama is the rainbow serpent, but also this devourer, the one that takes us back into her. We can't, she won't let us leave. And I wrote a short story, which I'm still working on, about how the earth doesn't want us to leave. She wants us to take her with her, or she won't let go, right? It's that ownership, like wanting to make things, but then not let them go, right? This like the devour, and it's related to kind of why we need to eat, all of our needs, why our root chakra, that our survival, right? So cannibal mother, the thing blocking our ability for power is that need to survive, that the dark mother. Right? Who brings us in and takes us out? We do not have control of her. So it's making us feel like we don't have power, right? But her dual nature then is that rainbow serpent. So I feel like somehow there's this that dipole is to come into that rainbow serpent energy with Big Mama, but we have to navigate her consumer that wants to keep us with her and that takes us back, you know? For the antidote for everyone and how we can kind of make it through, let's see. Very interesting. The card we get is the swamp, which is the chariot. The swamp image is very specific, and it's the only card in the deck that has six fingers instead of five. So as I was talking about our identity as humans, we have five fingers on our hand, but I get into the Rephaim and the six-fingered ones that came before us, the polydactyls. And so this is an archaeological, I'm sure your people are familiar, and you probably, most people have heard of the Nephilim. that are the six-fingered giants. So these are the titans, essentially, the giant and the race that we are born from, our literal ancestors. And one of the things I mentioned is that the Rephaim, these six-fingered giants, they came from the Valley of the Rephaim, which, guess where that is? Gaza. Gaza was the underworld entry to the six-fingered ones that are the polydactyls. And so the antidote is, and these are the dinosaurs too. If you can see, there's an image of a dinosaur on the card. These are our primordial selves, our dinosaur brain. Our reptile brain is my teacher, Dr. Kelvin DeWolf. In a lot of our meditation sessions, he would have us go into your reptile brain, which everybody, right, is like, don't go to the reptile. Like, don't go to dinosaur. But he's like, nope, we got to go back into the primordial source, which is our amygdala, right? The reptile mind. So, in so doing, going all the way back into the reptilians, which seem to be causing so much problems, we actually have to reconnect there, bring them in, integrate them, bring our awareness, put it back in, reconnect with our primordial. You can see the snakes too and the cannibal mother. This is the serpent wisdom that we must master to gain back our true power.
Wow, that's amazing. Because in shamanism, the serpent energy is about releasing our skin that we've outgrown. And it's about shedding our stories and surrendering everything that doesn't work for us because we're the only beings. Serpents are the only beings who are belly to belly with the earth. Every other animal, creature, has limbs or wings or fins, but not the serpent. So it's such an interesting tie-in with shamanism. And I love, love, love what you're saying about the reptilian, about your teacher, about what's in that picture and that archetype, because that is absolutely correct. And it's something I talk about a lot galactically with people who even have separation with the grays and judgments and labels that are completely inaccurate, including the reptilian species, as though they're all bad, they're all running government, everything that's wrong, they're possessed by the reptilians. And if you knew, like, how many species are on Earth, there's even more. There's thousands and thousands and thousands out there, every size, color, shape, and absolutely to absorb that nature, which is our nature. It's part of our genetics. We literally have reptilian in us, no less this part of our brain. So that is so genius. Will you put this together for us succinctly now around power?
Yes, absolutely. The shadow blocking our power is our connection to the dark earth, which is our survival needs, which is fear of not having enough to eat, of death, of like how we need things in order to survive. We need that dark mother, that dark earth, and we will return to her. That blocks our personal power because she controls us. The antidote to it is to reconnect with the serpent energy, with our ancestors, to go back into the portion of our brain, the amygdala, which connects us to that power that we have, that dark earth power we have inside our own bodies.
So is so good.
Piece of cake, right?
Practice. So if somebody they're listening to this and somebody says, I actually feel afraid to explore my shadow. I'm afraid to explore my power, even. What is the very first safe step that they can take to begin?
Oh, I love that. That's very good. I like to recommend, and again, this is big, scary territory. So you should be afraid, right? This is the Luke Skywalker going in to meet himself in the tree, right? So it's you need support, number one. You need like safe places to integrate after. Establish a support system for yourself when you do shadow work. Have emotional support through friends, maybe a therapist, maybe a spirit worker, right? Somebody that you trust to kind of hold you in that space. I like using music, uplifting things so that you can counter it, right? We don't want to stay in the low vibe. We need to learn how to dip our feet in, come back out until we get a little comfortable. I like micro dosing. So do it in little bits, right? Maybe you don't have to do it all in a big to-duty. Do it little bit at a time, like we were talking about. Let that time unfold. We don't have to have a big, don't push the button and think you can go all the way in. Take your time. Let it unfold. Do it step by step. Take small amounts and then go from there. So you can integrate it easier instead of giving yourself a crisis.
Yes. So
Yeah.
smart. It's great advice. What is your most transformative tarot reading? Or it could be I Ching or your cards or any modality that you've used. What's the most transformative reading you've ever given or have witnessed?
Ooh, that's a big question. I have a lot of biggies. I have been using this for so long. I had one session with the I Ching where a woman was deathly ill, and the I Ching was able to identify that her illness was being caused by her being abused as a child, which ended up being correct. That she had, and it literally said the exact words, and so she could see the words in the I Ching. It was very confrontational. It said, "You were sexually abused as a child." Hexagram 18, corruption and sexual abuse of a minor. And she looked at it, all the memories came back. She healed from her disease, ended up having, a regular life, was able to have children of her own just by one, a single paragraph. These are like, I'm not even talking like she had to read an entire book. I'm talking about this was a paragraph of words in the I Ching that unlocked that entire 20 years of suffering for her in a in an in like 5 minutes. So that was very dramatic, so fast, right? I've had another client, she was on her journey through politics, and we started with tarot. She was wanted to quit, wanted to give up, was facing so much torment by these men that were like, trolling her and everything. We did tarot sessions. She won. She was victorious and is now in office. So she went from being scared and wanting to quit to victory. So that was one that took a little more time, but resulted in the transformation nonetheless. And now she's leading entire groups of people. So it, I mean, it's powerful. It's life altering, life altering.
Paul, I'm also very impressed that you can do I Ching. That is one of the things during my, I took several certifications over many years, and during one of the longer ones, they asked us to get the I Ching. Got that book. I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know what language that was. I know they were English words, but I could not comprehend what I was reading. I think it's very difficult to learn how to do.
It
I'm
is. I
impressed.
feel like I am blessed because I was conceived in Tibet, actually. So I feel like part of me understands Chinese culture. I don't know why, but that was part of my journey. And I studied Chinese medicine. I've been doing martial arts from the time I was like 20. So it just made sense to me because of those other factors I had. So I learned I Ching from Dr. Stephen Karcher, who also had directly translated it from Taoist. And I read all of the Taoist alchemical literature. So I had like a broad Chinese philosophical understanding when I approached the I Ching. So that's the only reason I feel like I can do it.
That's so interesting. Be
Yeah.
interesting to look at your genetics.
I'm mostly French, like when I got my
Right.
DNA. And when on my journey, the cave I was taken to was the Cro-Magnon, Cro-Magnon, which is in France that I got to go to and take my children to. And we had crazy experiences. But yeah, you can find your lineage. It was a vision quest I went to, and they took me to the French caves, like in that Werner Herzog movie, The Cave of Forgotten Dreams. It was in that area that I'm from. Yeah.
Beautiful. And since you just mentioned your name, will you spell your name for people? Because there will be people who will want to find you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's DAOUST. It's the old archaic French word for August, the month of August, which means the golden one.
Oh, and so you are, Maja. And the first name is Maja. How can people find you and what is next?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm pretty available. You can go to my website, witchofthedawn.com, and my email is on there, which is maja@godismyboyfriend.com. I answer emails. I am not on social media due to privacy concerns, and also I don't enjoy being owned by entities. So I had to break free and trust, which has been working beautifully. I also like respecting a lot of people come to me for help. And those personal messages are monitored on most of the things like Facebook and Meta. They monitor all of your personal messages. So when people come to me for help, I don't like them being exposed. So I left social media for privacy concerns. But yeah, you can find me on there. I have a lot of other books in the works and on my page, and I usually just kind of put them up on my website when they're about to come up, so you can check or go to bookshop.org. If you don't like Amazon, that's a really good place to buy and purchase things because they support humans and bookstores in real life. And you can follow me there.
And your new tarot deck that we've been working with today is the Shadow Seer by Maja Daou. Yes.
That's
And
the
Maja,
one.
that's the one. Maja, this is Dare to Dream. What are you next, Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams or goals?
Oh, that is so cute. My next dream that I would love to do is to go the opposite direction from shadow work and go into light codes and color. So I've been getting a lot of downloads about rainbows and colors in the rainbow. So trying to share the color tones and octaves, which go along with harmonics, there is something that I've been getting very strong. So I want to do some rainbow work coming up.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Just as an aside, I have been wondering about my relationship with color, and I have no filter. So I think
I
my
love it.
audience is used to it. I do plant medicine sometimes, and recently I've been experimenting with DMT, and I keep having these profound experiences with color. And then it started going into my dreams, and I don't know if this is another lifetime, a concurrent lifetime that is sometimes crossing over with my soul, and I'm going to spend time there. But color has been very important to me, and that's been the big question, like, what does it mean, this thing with color? And I don't need that cognitively, but just I think creatively or expressively or even healing-wise, it feels like there's some kind of really incredible energy around color, but also for me, a relationship with color. And so the fact that you said that, it's an omen. It's
We're on the
totally
same
an omen.
vibe, same frequency. I love it. Such a good, that's, see, that's an omen, not a synchronicity. Yes.
It really is. I can't believe you said that. I am so excited. And I'm definitely. I don't know if you're in LA or if you ever come here and do anything, but I would come see you. So I'll just leave you with that. But we are
I
connected.
am in LA. Yeah, let's link up. I would love it. We can have a color party.
Would be
Rainbow party.
amazing. Poof. What a beautiful, beautiful experience this conversation has been with the beautiful Maja Daou. Definitely check out her website, her new deck. She's at witchofthedawn.com. And I end today's show with this reminder: the shadow is not your enemy, it's your unfinished story. So when you turn toward it with awareness, openness instead of fear, it stops haunting you and it starts guiding you. Next week on the podcast, I am featuring Marie Major, who's going to be talking about the spiral of time, stargates, Lumeria, Atlantis, and the new Earth. This has been Dare to Dream. And if this episode has moved you, share it with somebody who's waking up to, who's into, interested in this info and can benefit. Because the right message at the right time can absolutely change everything. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.